Good morning, everybody. Well, many of you are aware of the recent news with Father Hmong, and several have asked for me to comment on the situation. I don't really know anything beyond the contents of the statement that was released by the Archdiocese, which is to say that a claim was made against him in the recent days. This claim was submitted, and it was regarding a situation that the claimant says happened about over two decades ago. The diocese immediately suspended Father Hmong, and his faculties are gone for now. The civil investigation has begun, so has the ecclesial investigation. And Father Hmong, he denies the claim, and I'm not going to make a judgment or say anything else about it just because I don't know anything else about it, and I think it's wise for all of us not to make a judgment on the situation at this time. In our first reading today, Moses tells the people that if they follow the commandments of the Lord, they will live, and they will live well. Jesus adds, he says that too in our gospel, but then he says, but I want you to follow these commandments from the heart, not just externally. You know, for Jesus, external observance of rules and commandments is not enough. He wants the heart. And if Jesus, if we give him the heart, which is to say, if we purify and sanctify our hearts, then the external actions of our lives take care of themselves. A lot of people sometimes kind of fall into a different way of thinking, and a lot of people might fall into a particular sin, a habit, and they want to get rid of it, but they focus on the habit itself. And Jesus is saying, you're going to fail if that's the approach. You have to start with the heart. You sanctify the heart, the actions that flow from the heart in life are sanctified in the same way. On Tuesday, we heard at Mass about that Jesus was talking about the dish. And he basically said, look, you can have a really pretty looking dish from that's sitting there on a shelf from the outside, but if inside it's filled with crusty and smelly and moldy food, what good is that dish? And he says, a lot of people fall into that. We try to make ourselves look and appear so wonderful and virtuous, but on the inside, the heart has rotten away. Jesus says, you clean the inside of that dish first, and the external side of it will clean itself. And isn't that the truth with us too? Clean the inside, and then the outside will be clean, which is to say, fix the heart, and the actions will follow. St. James, in our second reading, kind of says the same thing. He says, what good is your faith if there are no works with it? Because a true faith, works spring from it. A true and beautiful heart, good and holy works flow from it. We got to give the Lord the heart, and then the actions take care of themselves. Which is to say, it's not just about saying the right things. It's about meaning what we say. It isn't just about doing the right things. We have to do it willingly, not reluctantly and begrudgingly. It's not just about believing the right teachings. It's about loving them, even if we struggle with them. It's not just about saying prayers. It's about truly praying. Jesus says in our gospel, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. How often is that the case in our prayer? How often is that the case at Mass? You know, we can't just go through the motions. Jesus wants the heart, and we give him the heart, and the external actions of our lives are going to be 10,000 times better. I think that's what we need in the church today, both local and beyond. You know, the problems facing the church are real, and they have to be addressed, and changes need to happen. But no amount of new procedures or external procedures and protocols, and no amount of increased transparency and new lists of whatever I'm not against those things. Those things are necessary. But no amount of all that stuff is going to fix what is ultimately a heart problem. The problem is that people in all ranks in the church have fallen out of love with Jesus. And in their wretchedness, they have picked something else instead. We do the same, which is why we hit our hearts through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Because our heart, in its wretchedness, has chosen other things. And sometimes what people have chosen is horrific, repulsive, and even criminal. You know, I was praying about all the state of everything in my prayer the other day. Just kind of didn't know what to do with it all. I was lost by it. And so I just thought, Lord, help me. And I opened my Bible to a random page. I love doing that. And what should I turn to? 2 Kings 22. It tells the story of Josiah. Josiah became the king of Judah in the year 640 B.C. And his father's name was Amon. Amon was the king of Judah for 2 years, but he was a total failure. His grandfather, Josiah's grandfather Manasseh, was the king for 55 years, and he was also a failure. Both his father and his grandfather made more mistakes than you can count. Their 57 years in the kingship is filled with idolatry and infidelity, scandal of every kind. Everything Jesus says was those 57 years. Evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. That was 57 years of that. 57 years of scandal. And Josiah was 8 years old when his dad died because his servants couldn't take him anymore. Josiah took reign when he was 8, a little boy, and it was a very dark hour in Judah's history. Josiah's ancestors had destroyed more than you could possibly imagine by their sins. Everything was in ruins. Trust in leadership had been broken, and Josiah took the throne, and everybody thought that he was going to be the same kind of monster that his father and grandfather had been. He proved them wrong. It was his heart that fixed everything. In fact, 2 Kings 22 and 23 talks about Josiah's heart in very poetic ways. It says that it was his heart, the heart that he had for God and the heart that he had for the people, that raised a fallen nation. The long abandoned temple, for example, in Judah, it had been abandoned for the whole reign of his father and grandfather. It was falling in on itself, literally and spiritually. And Josiah commissioned the forces to rebuild this temple. When they were doing that, a guy named Hilkiah, who was a priest, he happened to find a scroll that was buried in the midst of this rubble of this temple. And he blew the dust off of it, and it was the commandments that we heard in our first reading today from Deuteronomy and Exodus. This was what was on that scroll that happened to be uncovered. And so famously, Josiah, this young king, summoned everybody together, and he had the scroll read to everyone. And he said, from now on, we will serve the Lord. From now on, we're going to rebuild what my ancestors have destroyed. After all was said and done, 2 Kings 23, verse 25 says this about Josiah. Before Josiah, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, every ounce, and with all his soul and with all his might. And never did a king arise like him after him. I just want you to know, in the midst of all the drama of the church and things, that I'm trying to be like Josiah. And not just me, loads and loads of other good priests and especially all of our seminarians, who we have to pray for very hard right now. We need them now more than ever. We've inherited a mess from a few rotten priests and bishops and cardinals who made horrible and unthinkable mistakes. These men have inflicted so much pain and brought so much grief to the church that they said they loved. And now we're not perfect. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We're far from it. But like Josiah, we are standing in the ruins that some corrupt ancestors have left behind for the rest of us to deal with. May we never forget, by the way, just how deadly and destructive the deadly sins are. We must all be like Josiah. Look in your life. Where is there destruction? Where are there ruins? Maybe in a relationship, maybe it's in a family life someplace, maybe workplace, maybe who knows what's been destroyed. The devil loves to destroy things, and he loves to create disaster. And we are the people like Josiah, who, faithful, roll up our sleeves and say, okay, let's fix it. Josiah did not throw up his hands in defeat. He didn't walk away. He didn't give anger the final word. He did cry. And he worked to fix things and put the kingdom back together again. What he did most of all was give God his heart. And the fruits of Josiah's decision to give God his heart are thousands upon thousands, because that's how many people came back to God. And that is how many people's lives were repaired by Josiah's decision to give the Lord his heart. You know, when we were baptized, the priest put holy oil over our heart, a way of consecrating it, dedicating it to the Lord for the purpose of love. And if our hearts are right, if we attend to our hearts, then our actions will be right also, and we will repair so many things that have been destroyed in the world, in the country, in the city, in the church. What would it be like, you know, if we really like prayed with the heart, not going through the motions, but really prayed with the heart? What if we went to confession with the heart? What if we receive communion at every Mass with the heart, really knowing what's going on and like being, letting it transform everything? What if we served other people with the heart? What if we prepared dinner with the heart? What if we treated everybody that we came into contact with from the heart? Ours would be a story like Josiah's. That's what would happen. May God give us strength and hope. May he give us strong hearts and soft and gentle hearts as well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.